If you would turn to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 verses 3 through 6, as we pick up our consideration of this letter of John. So 1 John chapter 2 verses 3 through 6, and let me read this for us as we get going this evening. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Let's bow for just a moment again of prayer. Father, bless us as we consider your word tonight. May you guide us into its truth. May you enable me to proclaim your truth clearly and carefully. And may you help us all to have ears to hear, to grow in the knowledge of your will for our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about the different tests of authentic Christianity that John gives us in this particular letter. The three main ones are obedience, the moral test, which is going to be primarily the focus in our section that we're looking at tonight. There's the love, which is the social test, and truth, the doctrinal test. And John is underscoring these things because he's dealing face-to-face with the heretical doctrines of his day. Not all that different from some of the errors and false prophets of our own day, but in this particular section, one of the tests that he's going to talk about for authentic Christianity in our own lives is going to be obedience. But look for a moment at 1 John 4:1. Which helps us, it's different, but it helps us appreciate John's purpose in this letter. In 1 John 4:1, he says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So we have John trying to give these tests for authentic Christianity in the context of false prophets that have gone out into the world to help God's people to walk the right path. Another theme, and it comes out a little bit in our text here tonight, another theme woven through John is, along with this test for authentic Christianity, is the assurance of salvation. One of the things that John is underscoring is that you might know that you have eternal life. And it's woven throughout the book. Assurance of salvation is very, very important for us. It's helps us to be confident in our walk with God, confident of our relationship with God, encourage us to be persevering, especially when there's challenges. Here in verse 3, he begins with, and by this we know that we have come to know him. So he's trying to give you a means by which you can be assured of your salvation. If we skip down to John, 1 John 3:19, we see this a similar thought about assurance. 3:19, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. So he wants you to know that you are of the truth. Then verse 24, 3:24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And then just one more, 1 John 5:13. This perhaps encapsulates this thought. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's a great help and encouragement to us in John's letter, and one of his purposes is for you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt of your relationship with the Lord and how you can know that, to be encouraged in that. And one of the challenges John is dealing with is, especially in the area of assurance, as well as these tests, is the error of Gnosticism. It is built on the Greek word for know, and the Gnostics claim to have a knowledge, claim to have an experience, and they would say, if you didn't have their knowledge and their experience, then you couldn't possibly be a Christian. And yet, their knowledge and their experience was spurious because it didn't have any of these signs for authenticity. But they would say to the believers in that day, to us in our day, well, you can't be a real Christian if you don't know what I know, or if you haven't experienced what I experience, then obviously you cannot be a Christian. You can't know that you know the Lord. And this has been a challenge really throughout the history of the church. It comes out in different ways. Well, if you're not a part of our church, our denomination, then clearly you can't belong to the truth. Or, again, if you haven't experienced my experience in the experience of the second blessing, if you haven't spoken in tongues, if you haven't been baptized by the Spirit in the way that I have, well, then clearly you could not be a believer in Jesus Christ. You cannot be a true Christian. And John is trying to give us tools to help us to examine these things. You're going to be confronted with these, thinking of our children and our young people, you're going to be confronted with these things very regularly. We adults, too, we're not exempt. And you and I need tools to evaluate and examine these claims so that we have a true sense of our understanding and our knowledge. And so John begins, by this we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. The importance of knowing God cannot be overstated. It's a crucial thing. I want to take you to two passages. Turn first to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Knowing God is crucial and significant for our lives. And then turning into the New Testament to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's something Jesus prays for. and prays about. So John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So knowing God is crucially and significantly important. It's at the core of who we are as a people. And we come back here to 1 John chapter 3, and there's several different ways we could handle the text, but I want to take you through verses 3 through 6, realizing the key test he's highlighting is obedience. But there are, I think, three evidences or three aspects of our knowledge of God and our relationship with him that come out in this particular text that I think are crucially important. The first is truth, or the Word of God. How is it that we test our obedience? Well, we test it according to the truth of God's holy word. The second is obedience itself. That's a crucial part of the test. We know him because we keep his commandments. And then the third element is union with Christ, a relationship with the Lord, affection. In ancient Greek thought and philosophy, they made a great deal of human wisdom and human reason. But one of the problems that they ended up having is it didn't provide a basis for an ethical life, and it lacked affection or relationship. Just because you filled your head with knowledge didn't mean you had that. The Gnostics themselves, they claimed this knowledge and this experience, but their life didn't support an ethical life. It didn't promote holiness. And what we have here in this text, I think, is a help to us to understand truth. The Word of God is foundational, obedience to that Word, and then a union with Christ in our relationship with him. And I hope I can help you reflect on those things as we go through this particular text. Our knowledge of God is not a vague thing. Our knowledge of God is built on the concrete, objective truth of his holy word. Again, the Gnostics would say, well, they would base their knowledge on some ecstatic speech, ecstatic experience, some special knowledge that they were given, some sort of vague sense of truth. And God never has his people guided and to wander so aimlessly as that. But he's given us objective, solid truth on which we can build our lives and our faith. For example, in Isaiah chapter 8, in contrast to some of the false prophets, what does God say? To the law and to the testimony. If they don't speak according to this word, they have no light in them. The test of truth is the Word of God, the concrete, objective truth of God's holy word. I won't have you turn there, but back in John 17, in Jesus' prayer, he highlights truth in God's word in several ways. "For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them, and they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." Jesus prayed, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And he prayed, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Paul in Ephesians 2 says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. The standard by which believers frame their lives, guide their lives, test their lives, is the objective written word of God. And it's so critically important that we appreciate that. So we come here to 1 John 2, and you notice how that thought is woven through this. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Obedience is directed to and guided by his commandments, his truth, his word. Verse 4, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Again, God's written truth is what guides us. And then he goes on to say, and the truth is not in him. The word of God, the truth of God's word, is not in the person who isn't guided by that word. In verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So you have commandments, you have truth, you have his word that are the foundational elements of an authentic Christian life. It's not a vague experience. It's not a vague understanding. It's very clear, very concrete, very objective. We cannot know God apart from his word. And we can't know what obedience is apart from his word. And so to grow in our knowledge of God, we have to know his word. It has to be critical and foundational part of our lives. So the first element of our knowledge of God and our authentic Christian life is God's truth, his objective written word. But the second element is obedience. We know God through his word, and through his word we're taught how we can live in a way that pleases God. The Gnostic knowledge did not cultivate holiness. It cultivated arrogance. It cultivated hypocrisy. So John writes here, whoever says I know him and doesn't keep his commandments is a liar. And we saw that in the previous section, where God is light, in him is no darkness at all. And if we know the Lord, if we're in the Lord, we walk in the light as he is in the light. And those who denied sin in their life or denied that they had committed sin were liars. They were false. They made God a liar. And John was very condemning and critical of them. And we see the connection between our knowledge of God and our knowledge of his word and the test of our obedience. As we go back to verse 3, by this we know we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. Obedience to what God has told us to do is a crucial element in knowing that we know him. Again, verse 4, whoever says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar. The keeping of his commandments, that's the obedience, is a test, a crucial element of our authentic Christian life. In verse 5, whoever keeps his word, we're keeping it, we're doing what it says. In verse 6, whoever says he abides in him, in Christ, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you look at 1 John 5, verse 3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In our flesh, they are a burden. They're overwhelming. But when we love God, truly love him, we keep our commandments. We keep his commandments. And so the test of our authentic Christianity is not giving lip service to the truth of God, but to follow it by his grace. Turn to James chapter 1. We have a parallel thought here. The importance of truth in James chapter 1, verse 21. So, James writes, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And so you have the objective word of God and our obedience to that. Now, it's very important for us to appreciate that our obedience will be fraught with imperfection. So when I'm underscoring for you and for me the importance of obedience, I don't want in any way for you to think for 1 minute that you can do that perfectly, even do it well a lot of the time. That's going to be another error of the Gnostics, errors we've seen in recent history in our own country, the cultivation of the thought of perfectionism. John is not teaching perfectionism. And that'll become clear. That's a topic we'll get into at another time. But I want to acknowledge right up front, our obedience is not perfection. And that's not the test. Our obedience is fraught with imperfection. And we have to, it will be that way as long as we're living in this world. The issue is not whether we obey perfectly, but whether, because we love God, because he's put his love in our hearts, if we desire to live in a way that pleases him. And if, with prayer for his grace to help us, we make it our desire, interest, and ambition, plan, and hope to be obedient to his word. It's a question of the heart. And by God's grace, hopefully, we're able to be obedient some of the time. But it's the desire for obedience, the heart for obedience, the taking God's word and seeking to apply it to our lives, which is the key. And the Gnostics didn't do that. They didn't pursue holiness. And then the third element that I mentioned is the idea of union with Christ, a relationship with him, affection. It's not only that our heads should be filled with information, though that's a good thing in and of itself. We need to know things. We need to know information. But that's not all that there is to the Christian life. There's a relationship. There is a union, being united to Jesus Christ. There's an affection that's part of our relationship with him. When Paul was exhorting Timothy, he said to him, "Take heed to yourself and take heed to your doctrine." Both are important. Timothy, you need to guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. You need to guard your relationship with the Lord and your affection for him. But then guard your truth. Guard your mind. Be sure your mind is filled with the knowledge of God and according to his truth. You have to guard that and make that a part of your life. And in biblical terms, our relationship with Christ is described as union with Christ. We are in him. Jesus urged this upon us in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The Puritans would refer to this as experimental or experiential knowledge. It's not just a head full of information, but again, that's not a bad thing to have the right information. We have to build our thinking on the truth. But that's not all that there is in a relationship with the Lord. There's a characteristic of a vibrant love for him. And I think you see this concept of union with him in this text as well. Back in 1 John 2, in verse 4, it says, "Whoever says, 'I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.'" There's a union with Christ and a union with his truth when we know him, in our relationship with him. In verse 5, "Whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected." Completed, brought to completion, accomplished in him. When we're walking with the Lord, the love of God becomes perfected in us. Again, not perfect life, but completed in us. The last part of verse 5, "By this we know that we are in him, united to him, bound with Christ." In him, verse 6 carries on the thought, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." And so the question that's also a part of this test is, are we united by faith to Jesus Christ? With a true and lively faith. That he's not just someone we know about or have heard about, but we know him. And we abide in him and are united to him. And we have that affection of God, that union with him, that relationship with Christ, that connects us to him. And this text helps us to think through examining ourselves, reflecting on our relationship with the Lord, being built on the foundation of his objective truth, taking that truth and putting it into practice, and living that out in a vital relationship with Christ, that we walk in him and he in us by the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. These tests, these reminders, are not to overwhelm us. It's really to guide us and to hopefully encourage us to be confirmed in the assurance of our salvation, that we've come to know Him. And we know we've come to know Him because of these aspects of our faith that are crucially important. May you and I examine ourselves by the grace of God, walk in His ways, and seek to please Him. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, O Father, very much for this passage. Thank you for the reminder that it is of what characterizes a godly Christian walk built on your truth, seeking to apply it into our lives, living in a vital relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these reminders. Help us as we grow. Help us to cling tenaciously to you, to devote ourselves to your truth and understanding it. And I pray, Lord, that we will grow in our own assurance of our salvation and in our knowledge of you, that we might have the confidence of those who walk in faith. And may you encourage us and strengthen us as we go into this coming week to have this confidence before you in the face of whatever we might face. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.